And there's 57 things that we need for the Liets. And so I'm asking you, with parents, with kids, and whoever, to come forward and pick one of these little notes, do what it says, and then bring it back on the 23rd, two Sundays from now. And we are going to put it all into some big boxes that will be wrapped for Liat Love. What should I still be saying? Anything that I'm missing? No? Anyways, so you guys come on up and come and pick anything you want. We've got pink ones for girls, blue ones for boys, and the yellow is whatever. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call me. The price range is basically between $8 and $15 per sticky note. Okay. What layettes are they are a shower in a bag. We put about 50 items into it. And we package them up all nice and pretty. And we bring them to the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And they use them for their mums with newborns who do not have anything. Or they may go to a foster home that doesn't have anything for a new baby that just all of a sudden is given to their care. And we've also given layettes to immigrants who have come across with nothing from wherever they came from and have newborns and don't have clothing or things for them. Okay, we still have a little ways to go here. Who hasn't been up yet? And if you don't like to shop for what's on the sticky note, you can come and give me some cash for one of the sticky notes and I'll do the shopping for you. How many more we got? What's the countdown? We have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. If you want the service to go on, you guys got to keep coming. Bernie? Yes. Like I say, anybody who's got questions of what's on their sticky note, just let me know and I'll explain it the best I can. On the back side of the sticky note is where I have found these items to be the cheapest. So those are just ideas. Okay, what are we down to now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Woo! Oh dear. Okay, 4 left. All right.
I didn't realize that by holding this plaque, we would be holding up the service. So, guys, 3 left.
Let's go.
You can take 3.
You can take as many as you want. There's 3 left. Ah, yes, fight for it. Okay, you know what? I can bring out another board. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gene. Can I have a couple guys just move the podium here? This morning we're going to have, a few more announcements, but just want to encourage you that what we're going to see this morning is a coming together of multiple different areas of impact in culture. And God's glory and God's power is important in every realm. And what we just saw from Gene this morning was an important part of reaching out to the widow, the homeless, the people that don't really have a lot. We take so much for granted. And I really appreciate the Spirit of God in you, Gene, stirring you up. And I know there's others around you in our congregation. Raj is going to be sharing more about this the last Sunday of this month on the layettes, and there's going to be some more about that. So just want to encourage you that just taking a sticky, you're aligning yourself with what's going on in Gene's heart and the greater move of God among those unfortunate in our culture. It's making an impact beyond these walls to people that are hurting and need to feel and see Jesus' love. So I just want to dismiss the children. Rachel Bunn, why don't you come forward? There you are, Rachel. I'm going to ask Rachel to bless our Sunday school class while she also does an announcement. So we got multiple things going on here.
Okay. Father, thank you for the teachers who are going to minister to our kids today. I pray that you bless them with grace and patience to show your love to them, and that you would open the hearts of our children to receive identity and love and worth from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace. You may go. You may go. Okay. Yes, I'm going to make my announcement. I'm announcing that you have an opportunity to be a part of our Christmas play this year, because it's not actually just a Sunday school Christmas play. It's actually purposely an intergenerational rendition of the beginning of God's rescue plan. Of God's rescue plan for us. And so this is an invitation for you to participate. There's no memorization whatsoever. You can read your parts if you want. You can come as an individual, or maybe your small group would want to take a piece of it. And don't be afraid that you're going to miss any of it. You're not going to be backstage waiting for your turn and then you're going to come out. You would just be sitting in your seats and you'd come up to the front and do your part and then go back down and enjoy it all. So it's really just all of us together telling the story. So if you want to be a part, come talk to Karen. She's not here today, or myself, or email us, anything. I think that's all I had to say. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate the capacity you're showing here this morning with us. That's awesome. So, and that's for December 14th, I believe, right? Sunday night? Okay, good. Any age. All right. So for those of us that are in our 50s and we've been longing to get on stage and express what's on the inside of us, you just got an opportunity this morning. No one's laughing. Okay. By the way, just a quick correction. In your bulletin, it says that today Peter's facilitating. I will be facilitating. So welcome here, everyone. For those of you that maybe you're a visitor or you haven't been here before, want to just say thank you for coming. We're glad you could be here with us and to enjoy the party with Jesus. And we look forward to meeting you again in the future. just moving on, Matt Falk has an announcement. And as I was mentioned earlier, I was thinking about that verse in Habakkuk 2, verse 14, where it says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea." And, you know, if you want a biblical definition of glory, just go back to Exodus. Don't have time to go there. It's really the goodness of God. So when we talk about glory, you know, a lot of times in our religious mindset, we can think about a cloud, this non-relational nebulous cloud that kind of moves into a place, and that was the glory. And then silver teeth and gold filings and all kinds of neat healings and all kinds of crazy stuff happened. But really, at the core of it, the glory of God represents the absolute pure nature of God's heart, His love, His character of goodness and hope in every way. And so, you know, when we talk about the knowledge of the glory of God, we're talking about the knowledge of the goodness of God covering the earth, which is 97% of the earth is covered by water, I believe. And if I'm wrong, 70%? Thank you, Daniel. 70%. So we're talking about 70%, almost three-quarters of the earth, the Bible is saying is going to be covered with a knowledge, an awareness of God's goodness, of His love. And so, you know, we just saw Gene Harms and we saw the flow of God's goodness starting to spring out into that realm of mothers that don't have very much. It's also happening in other spheres, entertainment and arts, in ways that God has planted these individuals. Some of you are in business, same thing. God's call, God's momentum is for his goodness to flow in these realms. So Matt, why don't you come forward? I want to put this in context because I believe that God's going to continue to highlight various spheres in our culture and how his goodness is invading these areas.
That's really good. That's really good. I'm a stand-up comedian, for those who don't yet understand the context. How much time do I have? Five minutes? Okay, shoot. I prepared a 7-point sermon on Elijah. We can just go straight to the announcement. We'll do it.
Man, I tell you, these entertainers, they're just so long-winded.
I'm sorry, you're right. I can do it quick.
This isn't part of the act, you know.
No, okay. We'll summarize. Elijah loved God, and some crazy stuff happened. The end. Okay. No. So a few months back, a gentleman approached me, a producer that I was working on. We were making a documentary called That Mennonite Joke. It's a documentary about humor in the Mennonite culture. It's about 4 minutes long. Three. You're right. The director's extended cut is four. No. So he approached me and he had this. He said, "Hey Matt, there's this competition called the CBC Comedy Coup. Basically, comedy teams from all across the country have to enter with their idea for a television show." He said, "Do you have an idea for a television show?" Well, a couple years back, I had made these YouTube clips, YouTube videos. One was called How to Train Your Dog, where I attempted to show people how to train their dog, and of course, it went very wrong. And that video, who's all seen that video? Oh, four people, good. It was a huge hit. And then after that, we did How to Build a Birdhouse, which got even kind of more attention online. So I thought, well, maybe this character could be a good TV show. So we entered this TV show idea. It was called How to Do Everything Gooder. It stars myself playing a character, the everything expert, and he basically goes about teaching people how to do everything. You've seen these DIY shows, these home improvement, life improvement shows. Well, this is a parody of that kind of a show. We're making fun of Homes on Homes and all these kind of guys. It takes place half in front of camera, half in fake behind-the-scenes footage, half with actors, half with real-life people we find on the streets. So it's very fun. It's very interactive that way. Anyway, so we entered this competition. We were very proud of our entry. Almost 300 people entered. We did some series of contests, weekly challenges, meet the team videos, posters. It got whittled down to the top 110, and I'm happy to say we made it into the top 110. And we did some more weekly challenges, and then it got whittled down to the top 55, and I'm happy to say we made it into the top 55. Thank you. So this weekend is the vote for the top 15. The winners of whoever gets in the top 15 makes up a contract. They're working with entertainment lawyers already, and then the producers choose the top five, and they go out to Toronto and pitch this idea, and one of them gets $500,000 to create their own 30-minute comedy special, which will air on CBC Prime Time. And I really want that money. Mennonites, that's right. So here's my plea to you. One of the criteria that people look for advancement, is voting. So I need people to go to www.gooder.tv and vote for our project. Here's what I believe in. I believe that today, especially with this comedy coup, the main cloud over it is edgy, cutting edge, new. And the thing that most people are doing is they're resorting to what you would expect comedy creators to resort, sex and all what have you, language and that stuff. So I'm very clearly a Mennonite. Sex and what have you. I don't want to talk about it too much, but I believe that comedy can be cutting edge, that comedy can be new and edgy and a breakthrough without being dirty. I believe that we don't have to compromise our morals to make an impact on the world. And I believe that everybody knows that there is a God, and they've replaced that lie with the truth. And I believe that when we speak truth into their lives, it resonates with them somewhere deep in their spirit. And I'm really excited to have the possibility and the chance to do this, not only on CBC, but across the world. So, the big live event, which is another competition, is happening tonight. There's a big live event happening tonight at Providence University College, featuring LA Music Award nominee for Female Vocalist of the Year, Sheena Grob. She's going to be there. Elvis tribute artist Corny Remple is going to be there. Chris Funk, the Wonderist, is going to be there. Dreimo Plot is going to be there. I'll also be there doing some comedy and in character, teaching you how to speak Low German. I don't know how to speak Low German, but my character does. And we'll play some videos and raise some awareness. The event is free. It's cold outside. It's Sunday night. You're not doing anything, okay? So Providence University College tonight at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6:30. I would love to see you there. If you want some more info, ask me or go on Facebook. It's there too. Again, Providence University College, 7 o'clock tonight. It's free. Thank you all so much. The website is www.gooder.tv. Thank you.
The videos are really entertaining because he electrocutes himself quite often. But I want to make a little plug for Matt there, and that is that you can, there's an opportunity to vote for what he's doing, his concept, the Gooder concept. And so I'm not telling you have to. I'm sure other comedians that are great. But check out his Facebook. Would they get links if they went to your Matt Falk Facebook page? If you go to his Facebook page, over this weekend, you have an opportunity to cast your votes for who you think deserves Gooder the award for the big bucks or whatever that Matt so desperately wants. So really appreciate, Matt, your heart. And you know what? This is an example of the glory of God, the goodness of God expanding into our culture. You say, well, how is that possible? Is he going to preach a sermon? Is he going to mention the name of Jesus? Is he going to pray for anyone? He carries the life of God on the inside of him. And just by walking in with his feet into that place, there is an atmosphere that is released. And people walk away and they go, there's something about that Matt Falk. I don't know. It's just really weird. I believe the day will come when we'll have entertainers stand up. People are laughing and crying, and they're crying because the presence of God is impacting them, and they don't even know why. The person isn't even naming the name of Jesus, and they're weeping because it's just hitting them. The glory of God, the knowledge of the goodness of God, hitting them. And that goes for every one of us, whether we're working in an office building, whether we're, cleaning floors in an empty warehouse as a custodian. It doesn't matter. We're leaving an imprint of heaven in that place that will change the atmosphere and eventually change lives around us. So, right on, Matt. Thank you. Thank you, Gene. Appreciate all you guys. And, oh, look at this. we have another announcement. Okay. We almost forgot, but we didn't. Offering. We're going to give an opportunity for you guys to give with your worship, with your offering. So, ushers, why don't you come forward? As you're coming forward, just a quick announcement. I don't know if this was announced last Sunday, but just a note. We've had morning prayer times that's open to anyone in this body or anyone really that comes to a service. We pray for an hour. So there's some talking. And we start trusting God corporately for, God, we want you to do something in this service. What you're experiencing right now, there's people that came beforehand and prayed into this. And so you don't have to be in leadership. You don't have to have a special card on your chest saying that you're an intercessor or whatever. You just have to have a heart for it. And so you're welcome to come. The doors are open, but we've changed it to 8:30. So it's 8:30 to 9:30. You can come at 9. And, there's no pressure to come or not to come. But if it's in your heart, please be welcome to join us every Sunday at 8:30. So let's pray for our offering. God, we just thank you for the opportunity to give. That this is tapping into your nature. This is a part of who you are. You're a giving God. Lord, you said that it's better to give than to receive, Lord. Why? Because we're really tapping into your nature. And so, Father, I just pray for a grace for everyone in this room that whether we give or don't give, for those of us that are giving, that there be just an overflow of your love behind what we're giving. We thank you that every need is being met by the power of your presence. And we come into agreement that every need is going to be realized through your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Daniel's raring to go, and I want to give him opportunity. I just am so blessed and honored to run alongside this guy.
Some of you have been blessed by Daniel and some of the other folks on Wednesday nights. And for those of you that are interested, please, you won't leave empty-handed. God's doing some amazing stuff and teaching us some awesome revelation. And we've heard some amazing, cool stuff of what God's doing in Daniel's heart and life. And we just want to open our hearts to that. So why don't we do that? Let's just open up our hearts to that. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the giftings you've placed in your body and for the life that you've placed in each one of us in this room. And Lord, we know that your presence is on the inside of Daniel. And so right now, corporately, individually, we say yes. Just go ahead and say yes. Lord, we say yes to your presence. Whatever it is that you want to download to us through Daniel, we just open up our hearts to receiving that in Jesus' name. We thank you for the flow. It's in Daniel's life. We bless it. We honor it. We see it's you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'm just going to pray again. God, thank you today for today, God. One thing I want to share. It's snowing, right? Exciting. I think something that's really cool, I heard this story, this guy who was from India. He came over here. He'd never seen snow. He was a Christian. When he got off the plane, he saw the snow and he broke down crying because he didn't understand how white snow was. And that's what God said. He's made us white as snow. Pretty cool. Like, honestly, it's white, man. Like, you imagine in wintertime, it can be cloudy and you still have to wear sunglasses because it's just so white. And that's every single person here today if you're in Christ. Good reminder. But yeah, thank you, Jesus, for an awesome day. Thank you that you speak to us through your weather, God. That there's no excuse, Jesus. Spirit, we just acknowledge your awesome presence here. God, I just ask for strongholds this morning. So, we're going to get into Colossians. This is a little bit of a taste of what you'll get on Wednesday nights. This, like, 35 minutes is like, I got a crunch. I usually have 2 hours. So, this is going to be a very snipped up version of what happened Wednesday night. You will get the full version eventually when it's online. But yeah, this is kind of what you're going to get a taste of. So, I'm just going to jump straight into it just because time's sake. We're studying Colossians, so go to Colossians if you have your Bible or iPad or iPod or whatever. I'm going to hit historical background. Some of you might think this is boring, but it's whatever. I like it. So we're going to go into it. Colossians, the book itself, is about the fullness of Christ. If you've ever read it, you'll notice it talks a lot about how Christ has everything. He's enough. He is the fullness. He is this. He's that. He has everything available. There's no other source you need. There's no other fountain of knowledge or wisdom or power or salvation that you need to drink of. Oh, all my fountains are in you. Right? We all know that song. That's for real. Colossians explains the fullness of Christ and what he has done, what he has accomplished upon the earth and in his kingdom, and consequently in your life, and what that looks like walked out. You'll notice the first two chapters of Colossians have to do a lot with arguing against false religions, false doctrines, and the second half is basically how to walk it out. So it gives you all the truth, and then it gives you the practical. It's a really cool book. So who were the Colossians? This is kind of the inductive method. Basically, you get into the scripture and you let it speak to you about who wrote it, when was it written, who was it written to, why was it written. So I'll just do it quick. Who are the Colossians? The Colossians, basically by the time this book was written to them, they weren't actually that old. They were probably only like, probably less than 10 years old in Christ. The church had been founded in, I think, Paul's second or third missionary journey. And he'd actually never met them. You find from the text that Epaphras, someone who worked with Paul, was probably the guy who spread the word there. But they grew up near Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was basically spiritual Disneyland. They had everything. They had gods for sex, for money, for power, for protection, for you name it. And you could go and join what are called these mystery religions, they were called. And they're called mystery religions because that's enticing, right? Like everybody kind of likes secrets. And then it just draws people in. Essentially, these mystery religions offered all kinds of access to super secret knowledge and power of different sorts. And an individual wishing to gain access to such knowledge had to perform specific sacrifices and rituals or chants or whatever to gain access to that knowledge. So basically, you have to do something to get it, is what the spirituality at the time was largely pushing for. So only certain people have certain things. And because they've slaughtered enough animals or they've carry enough rune stones, they've actually still find in that area little rune stones that people would carry for protection against whatever. And so it was something where it was very regimented. There was lots of levels in the spiritual kingdoms, and there were like hundreds of them. If you can imagine it, there was probably a god for that. Hinduism is like that today. Now, why was Colossians? Oh, sorry. If the people back then, like the temptation to join these mystery religions, would have been very tempting. And we can all kind of relate to this. This is why this is such a relevant book. If they felt like they were not seeing the fruit of God's promises in their lives, they may very well have been incorporating mystery religion tactics to gain access to what they felt Christ was lacking. This was a huge deception and a huge heresy. That brings us to why Colossians was written. Scholars don't fully agree on the main issue, because usually in the letters, especially the epistles, like letters of Paul to the church or wherever, there's usually a main issue Paul is addressing. Whether it's mystery religions, whether people were fighting amongst themselves, whether they were abusing communion, there's usually a main reason. Scholars don't agree that there was one reason in Colossians. There's actually a few, and you can see hints of it throughout the book. He mentions circumcision and uncircumcision. He mentions asceticism, which is severity to the body to gain spiritual prowess and power. He mentions do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, worshiping angels, keeping Sabbaths, new moons, festivals. So a lot of that has Jewish culture mixed into it, which was the law, which we know that Christ nailed to the cross. So he has to combat that. Other stuff was like what I just finished talking about, mystery religions. It's all kind of sprinkled through the text as you go through it. So the worship of gods in that culture included sacrifices, rituals, other specific things that the gods of each religion might have required of the people. Some gods that were likely worshipped in Colossae were Isis, who was a god of fertility. Mithra was a warrior god who fought on behalf of light and justice. This mystery was only available to men, so it, you know, flip-flop gender as well. The goddess Sibyl was the great mother, so if you were you weren't fertile, you would pray to this goddess, and you would have babies. And Hecate was the goddess of the underworld, and a primary source of protection from evil spirits. That's kind of funny, going to the god of hell to get protection from evil spirits. But whatever. Kind of backwards, man. Because of all these gods and all the sacrifices and rituals and performances to be made to them, the overall motivating factor behind their worship was fear. Fear of not knowing what the gods would do if not appeased, and fear of the wrath the gods may pour out if they were angry. Bad place to be in. Everywhere. Everybody had these little gods they carried around in their pockets. Literally. They had idols at home. They had Asherah poles. And they had idols that they carried around in their pockets and would go to for comfort. Right? Eye pockets. Another thing that Paul may have been dealing with was Gnosticism. Gnosticism only really came about in the second century, where it was like a full-blown Gnostics. That word is based from the word gnosis, which means knowledge. So these people were seeking knowledge and knowledge and knowledge and knowledge and understanding. Essentially, when one gained enough knowledge, he would transcend the physical and gain spiritual status and influence. It seems in the text that if people saw spiritual visions or images or whatever, they would lord their experiences as a status card over people who had not seen visions. Paul makes it clear that we are all one and equal in Christ. You can imagine what somebody who saw a vision would feel over somebody who didn't have one, and how the person who didn't have a vision would feel. Right? We can do this in the church today. You know? It happens. This isn't old news, man. The gospel is old news. But it's good news. It never changes. And it's relevant. A couple other things to name by name. I love this one because it's funny. One group of people who followed Paul around, almost like it almost looks like they were just tagging on. They'd come 2 days after he left planting a church. It was called the Circumcision Party. Not a party you want to be invited to. Yeah, come on, man. It'll be great. We'll all just... No, please. I'm okay. Just maybe change your name. But they were called the Circumcision Party because they would come behind this new revelation of Christ and they would say, Jesus plus the law equals salvation. So yes, Jesus, but you also need circumcision and you also have to observe the feasts and the fasts and the Sabbaths and this law and don't touch and don't eat and make sure. So those people who were maintaining that were of a higher order, experienced more spiritual knowledge. Again, Paul addresses each one, it seems, individually as well as corporately in this book. Basically, the Colossians, being a young church, needed to know that the fullness of God dwells in Christ and that Christ dwells in them. So they have everything they need. There's nothing else to get. The only thing you need is an understanding of what was paid for. So let's jump right into the text. I'm seriously cruising here. And, you know, I'm not going to, like, hold your hand, you know, and walk you through every little point. I'm going to go over it quick. We'll see. I probably won't even get past chapter 2. But get into it yourself. And this kind of background stuff is really helpful into understanding what's going on. So one verse one. Paul, an apostle of Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So we know who the author and his buddy were. To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Paul hits it right off the hop. You can imagine being this church in Colossae and everybody's having visions and prophecies and stuff except for you. And Paul says you're a saint. Immediately, Paul starts addressing stuff. He calls you saints. Now, that's not just to them. That's to us. The church. It wasn't like just the saints here. No, it was a collaborative now and always. If you're in Christ, you are a saint. There's equal ground. There's no statuses. There's no nothing. Like Jesus flattens the field. There's no mountains. There's no valleys. Everybody's standing here. So he hits that right off the hop. Other things you'll notice in Colossians are words like thankfulness, and understanding and knowledge. This is another big giveaway that Gnosticism was being birthed in the area. So knowledge and understanding, it's available in Christ. You don't need it from Hecate. You don't need it from Isis. You need it in Christ. He has it. He actually has all of it. He's the one who authors it. You'll just notice that if you go through. Thankfulness, too. That's a really good one, man. That's like an anchor for your good attitude. For real. If you're having a bad day, just start getting thankful. It'll center you pretty quick. You know? Yeah. I get like it's so easy to get like a bad attitude into like, why me? It's cold. And I am very into telling stories of suffering brothers and Christians around the world. Not as a guilt trip, but you have to know how much you have living in Canada. Okay? Like, for real. Now, we're not to be thankful in comparison to others, because even the people who I'm about to talk about need to be thankful. But it helps us, because we're in a culture so obsessed with materialism and stuff and never having enough, you know? It's easy to get really walloped and blinded and unthankful, and then you start questioning God's goodness. So here it is. And this will get heavy, guys. I'm glad Matt came up and was making everybody laugh, because this is going to get heavy. Okay? I'm, like, serious. I am such a warrior, and I take the spirit of religion, and I choke it until it's dead. I'm going to stomp it this morning. It's going to be sick. I'm so serious. I get heated when I talk. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anybody here. But these lies and these strongholds need to be choked and curb stomped. Like, for real. They do. I do this because I love you guys. Like, I don't get paid to be up here. I don't get anything. I love you. And religious strongholds hold the Western church back, because we want to control stuff and we want to feel good enough based on all the good things we do. It's demonic. So in Africa, this is a true story. Some of you may have heard it already. This bus full of Christians was going through the forest. It was in Tanzania. And the bus gets stopped by rebels. And these rebels come on the bus and they take two men off. They just pick two guys. And they take them outside. And they shoot them. And they cut their heads off. And they put them on sticks. This was in the last 5 years. So there's a woman on board who sees this and she starts screaming. And she has a baby. So they come on board and they take her baby from her and they grab it by the feet and hit it against the bus until it dies. And then she starts attacking them, so they shoot her too. This really happens. It's actually happening. And we get pissed off because it's cold. Shut up. Right? Like, me too, man. I'm so in this boat. Thankfulness is so, like, oh. And then I heard the story, and then there's a recording of them worshiping God in the midst of their village that's surrounded by rebels. They don't have all this stuff. There's just a recording of them worshiping God. We need to take this stuff seriously, man. But back to Colossians. I'm going to jump down to verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's an important connective there in verse 10. So as to. That's like a therefore. What is it therefore? What is the result? You know, it's saying this is the result. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that you walk in a way that's pleasing and bear fruit. So let me break this down. It adds at the end, increasing in the knowledge of God. So what Paul is saying, that understanding and knowing God and his will make you bear good fruit in your life. It's not because you get up in the morning and try hard. It's not because you are on the worship team. It's not because you helped this person one time. It's because you know him. You want fruit that lasts and that multiplies 30, 60, 100-fold, get to know him. Amen. That's it. But isn't it so cool? Because here's these mystery religions saying, do all this stuff. Fear, fear, have I done enough? Am I there yet? No, you're not. Oh, how come he's not? What about them? No, blah, 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 blah. And then Paul comes along and says, if you know God, you'll bear fruit. So know him. What other God wants you to have a relationship with him above everything else? A God who loves you like crazy. That's like the basis of Christianity, is relationship. That is insane. And Christians are suckers. Not Christians, sorry. Humans are suckers for religion. We're suckers for it. Because we want to feel that we do something so that we can take a little bit of credit. It's pride. You know, it's interesting. The Bible talks about laboring to rest. Like, working really hard so that you can rest in what Christ has done on the cross. Every day I have to nail this down in my head, that it's not about what I do. I don't have to do anything. Jesus, you did it all. I'm not qualified because of this or because of that. Jesus, you did it. I rest there. Otherwise, you're going to be doing it out of fear because you want to be good enough. And so the motive is fear, so it doesn't even count because it's not done out of love. When you understand that he's done it all, your heart will be filled with thankfulness and goodness. And when you believe it, grace is poured out into your life to go and bear fruit. And it'll be out of love for what Christ did. Jesus is brilliant, man. I saw this argument on Facebook. Basically, this old covenant, or no. This person was saying there's no hell. And we've all heard that and whatever. People talk about it. And so the question, there's like 88 comments, because there always are, as unfortunately Christians get involved. And we don't, you know, it's bad. I've done it. It's bad. Just don't go there, man. You know? But basically people are saying, well, if everybody this, well, what if this guy's real, like what if a person is really good and they're really trying to do stuff that like helps society and they die, God's going to send them to hell? And the people are saying, well, I think it's based a little bit on faith and a little bit on works, on what you do. And then people are, but then I started asking God, I was like, God, what's going on? Like, and he kind of just clarified for me. He's like, oh, and this has to do with the mystery religions. This is all from this book, by the way. If it's on works, what's good enough? What about the terrorist who converts at 30 years old, has slaughtered women and children, but then goes and works at a soup kitchen? What, like, is he in? Or does soup kitchen cancel out murder? What does this do that does? What cancels out what? Are these equal? Is that equal? You don't want works, because you'll do it out of fear, trying to prove yourself good enough. Sucks, we don't want it. What if everybody's in? What if everybody just goes to heaven? Then there's no justice. And the people who scream and say everybody's going to heaven will show up to heaven one day and be really mad that this person's there because they did this. And it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be mad that injustice happens. That's a good thing. It's good. When I told that story of that baby, you should be mad. And that's good. So there's no justice. Because God's just, there has to be justice. If there's no justice, then that's not good. And I bet if we all went to heaven, there'd be another war. Right? What's he doing here? Well, you said this. You know, boom, boom, boom. What if everybody's out? What if everybody goes to hell? Then there's no mercy. And God is not love. So we can either have works and be motivated by fear. We can either all go to heaven and have no justice. We can either all go to hell and have no mercy. Or God can send his only son to die on the cross so that mercy and justice go. Like, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. The cross is brilliant. It's not just some thing. Like, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And the only way you get there is just by believing it. I don't have to do anything. Nope, you're in. It's perfect. It's so perfect. People argue against it, but they don't want the alternative. They just don't know that yet. You don't want works. That's bad news. And it just violates your heart because you're doing it out of fear anyways. So 12 to 14, may you be, or 11 to 14, may you be strengthened with all power, and he uses the word all a lot in here, all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Again, put yourself in the shoes of these Colossians. They're like scrambling spiritually. Well, I prayed one time. Well, you better go to Hecate. Something bad happened to you. He must not be protecting you. Okay. Please. And then Paul, like, you have to understand how much of the New Testament is past tense. Like, do a verb tense observation. Go through and look at, like, has or were. He has done it. Having laid up for you in past tense, continuing forward. Lots of it's done. Actually, I would say that most of it's done. But what we do as humans is we try something once and we forget that there's actually an enemy. And when it doesn't work, we quit. That sucks. I get it. Man, I get it. Like, never think that I'm up here, like, speaking up here down to you. Ugh. This is the truth that sets us free. I was set free by this, and I continue to be, and I want to share it with you. I don't care what you did this morning, or yesterday, or Friday, or this last year. I don't care what you did. It has never put you down even a single notch in God's eyes, because He has qualified you. He has. Woo! He has qualified you. Not you. He has. The preeminence of Christ. This is starting in verse 15. That's a paragraph title. That was so anti-inductive method reading that, but whatever. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. I want to stop there. All things were created for him. For him. Not for you. Sometimes we treat God like he was created for us. My blessings, my family's health, my prosperity, my good day, my education, my business. God bless me. God build my kingdom. Why aren't you building my kingdom, God? I thought you had my back. But you, actually everything was created for him. For him. Mm-hmm. It says that in there. I'm not making this up. Right? That's pretty serious. We need our perspective to change. If you can change a man's perspective, you can change his life. Now, there's nothing bad with having a business or having this. And God wants us to ask him for things because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's all good. But man, do we ever get narcissistic here in the West? We do. Me. Like, honestly, I preach healing, okay? I do. And I've been sick for 2 weeks. My baby boy had a fever of 102 the other night. I had to stay up till 3:30 in the morning with a cold cloth on his head. But I'm not going to move. I'm not going to move. The word says it. By his stripes we were healed. And don't you think that I don't get those thoughts? Well, how come you have to hold your baby boy like that? Doesn't God care about him? Maybe he doesn't really heal. Maybe it's not his will. Don't you think I don't get those thoughts, man? Our house was haunted when we moved into it. And we got, like, hurt hearing, like, voices and stuff like that. And bumps and whatever's. Fear, like, there's a very big difference between being scared and when the spirit of fear comes into your room and sits in front of you with his fangs. Demonic dreams of, like, evil, witchy woman, happening. And Some people told us to leave. People who were like, had our best interests in mind and, you know, had certain beliefs about spirituality said, you know, this is pretty big. This is like a spiritual thing. You better just leave. I never, ever, ever see Jesus leave. I never see him run. So we couldn't. We were so close to leaving. Caleb was one of the guys who was like an anchor in my life in that time. I'd come to work for like, it probably lasted like a month or something, I don't know. Just like shook, I didn't sleep. I'd wake up, this thing, have to like fight it. So when did it stop? How come it was happening? You know? Sure, okay, it was haunted, whatever. We're Christians, we should be in there, bleh. Should have just gone, I'm the light. Right? It's in there. It says that too. It comes down to whether or not you believe it. And the devil's not convinced you do. I'll let you know that right now. He's not convinced you believe it. You know when it left? It left when we made the decision that live or die, we're not leaving. As soon as we took a stand, planted our feet, we're not leaving. And you can haunt us all day long. We're not leaving. The Bible says this. We didn't move. And the thing, that was it. Never a problem again. So I preach healing. And I preach that God's will is to heal. And then I get sick and my baby boy has a fever 102. And I pray and nothing happens. The devil's not convinced that I really believe that. So eventually when you beat something and when you make a decision, he's going to come around knocking to see if anybody's home again. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's going to. He wants to see if you've got any weak spots. Yeah, it's God's will to heal. He wants to heal everybody. My little boy gets a fever. Is anybody home? Yeah. If I answer the door, it's bad. But if I let the living word answer the door, the answer's going to be different. I'm not moving on that. I will never move on that. Even if I die, I will not move on that decision because it is too clear in here. Yeah. We say we follow Jesus, right? We say we follow him, and he healed everybody who asked him. Every single person who asked him, he healed. And then we make these doctrines because I tried that. Didn't work. Well, I guess it's not. Come on. If it's that easy to like knock you over, then man, you're living by sight and not by faith. And that's why faith is so sweet. Because I was asking like, God, why faith? Why do we have to believe it? Because faith, when it's resolved, can't be moved. If your belief in everybody's healing is based on everybody being healed, then the second somebody's not healed, you're kiboshed and you don't know who God is. That's it. If you live by your circumstances, you will die by them. If you live by how other people feel about you, you will die by that. Understand? Faith is the most stubborn, I'm not moving, and I don't care if I don't see it because he said it. And when you have faith, grace is released to make that become a reality in your life. We are saved by faith through, or by grace through faith. So no faith, no grace. This covers a lot of ground, man. It covers all ground. All of it. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Colossians. It covers all of it. Sometimes we don't need more prayer. Not being mean or insensitive. Stuff happens and it sucks. I get that. But we've created this society in our church, West Church, where it's all about feeding me and me and me and staring at our navels and running around. I need inner healing. He has delivered you from the domain of darkness to the domain or the kingdom of his beloved son. He has. Well, I don't see that in my life. Well, start believing it, because that's what he asked you to do. Because you died on that cross. You died on it.
Sometimes you don't need more prayer. Sometimes you just need to get this thing into your head. Change your perspective. Start believing what he said. We have a lot of crazy stuff we do in the church, man. We have all these conferences, and we look to have this, and have this poured down, and get that, and make this happen, and do this. But he's already done it. He gave us his son. What else can he do? That's why it talks about it. I believe it's in Hebrews, where he says, if you don't accept it, then there is no more forgiveness for sins. If you don't accept Christ, then there's nothing else he can do, because God played his best card. And if you won't have it, well, then what are you going to do? Not that God's not forgiving you, but you rejected the best card ever played. Right? Like, this is so serious. And I know there's a lot of prophetic stuff about nations and stuff like that, and a lot of that is Old Covenant. It's Old Testament. God died on the cross so that he could come and get to you, not to your nation. Because God did not make a covenant with the United States, and when they broke it, Hurricane Katrina came. He was never in covenant with the U.S. because the U.S. is full of 350 million individuals. God is so about individuals. He is so about individual people. He is so about your heart. What's your nation going to do? Who cares, man? Babies are getting smacked against buses. What are you going to do? Right? Like, we get hopped up on visions and experiences and spiritual blur. He's done it. People need to know. Right? This is not... A lot of times I don't come and speak from this thing, man. Because it's in me. He's written it on my heart. But I'll do it for your conscience sake. So that you believe what I'm saying. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, all the fullness of God, and through him to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Jumping to 2, verse 9, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, have been filled in him. You know, you can't even ask God for joy. God, just be with me today. He can't answer that. Well, I don't feel it. Well, you're supposed to live by faith, not by sight. He can't. If Dave asks for my Bible and I give it to him, and then he puts it down behind him and says, can I have your Bible? I'm going to look at him like he's stoned. I gave it to you. I can't give it to you. Right? The fullness of God dwells in Christ. Good. The fullness of Christ dwells in you. Awesome. Hello. Hello. Thankfulness, man. Yep. That's like most of... Did you say that or did you say that? Oh, Brian did. It came from there. Thankfulness. Most of my prayer life does not consist of acting or asking. That's good. It consists in building myself up in the faith. God, thank you that you sent your only son to die for me. Thank you that despite how I just messed up, God, that's not how you view me. Thank you that I can turn and repent. Repent means changing the way you think. Literally, it does not mean getting on the ground and snoveling and spitting and feeling bad. It means to turn. It's an action, not a feeling. So you turn. Thank you, Jesus, that you turn your heart. You have turned my heart, God. That's not who I am anymore. Thank you that you wiped that away 2,000 years ago. So I'm turning from it, Jesus. Thank you that you filled me with all peace and with all righteousness and with all joy. Thank you that healing is made in the atonement, God, and that you've made this available to us, God. Thank you that this morning I have access to all the joy. And so I just thank you for that, Jesus, and for peace. What have I asked for? Now, I'm not, like, God wants us to ask him for stuff. He does. I'm not saying that's not true. He absolutely does want us to ask him stuff, and, you know, like, but do you see which spirit I'm warring against right now? Yeah. The spirit of me? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because it's for him. Yeah. Totally. You ever have that? Where, like, you're sitting there praying and you're like, oh, I don't even know what to pray. And God's like, pray for Doug. He's having a bad day. As long as you're looking at yourself and your sin and your life and this and that, you're not thinking about anybody else. Jesus Christ died to get love into you, and love is not self-seeking. I'm not saying it's okay to sin. I'm not saying it's not okay. You know, I said that Wednesday. I'm not going to spend 20 minutes explaining what I didn't say. Okay? Sin is bad. Deal with it. But don't ever spend more than like 20 seconds dealing with your sin. Seriously. Seriously. And confess it. Thank you, God, that that's not who I am. You acknowledge that you did it. That has nothing to do with denying the fact that you sinned. But you're confessing what he thinks, not what you think or feel. That's important, man. And so then you move on and you start praying for other people. Because that's love and that's God, because God is love and now he lives in you. So you actually are love, despite whether or not you feel it. And you access that by faith. Cool? I know the time. Okay, I'll finish with this. I was way more whatever. He disarmed the rulers, verse 15. Okay, 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. You sinned, you die. That was the legal demand. This he set aside. And not only did he set it aside, he nailed it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So I had this cool thought the other day, and I'll leave you with this because it's going to leave you empowered. I was just thinking, and Holy Spirit started saying, he's like, Daniel, you know you're a king and you're a priest in my kingdom, right? He's like, yeah. Or I'm like, yeah. And he's like, do you know what a priest and a king in my kingdom looks like to the kingdom of darkness? And I was like, what's it look like? And he's like, it looks like cancer. It looks like pestilence and disease. When you walk into a room and you're the only light, darkness is around looking and they're like, holy crap. He's here. If he touches anybody, he's going to get righteousness, peace, and joy all over them. They're going to get infected, and then they're going to die, and Christ is going to live. Oh, he's got him. He's got him. No, there's no cure. God, he's dead. He's dead. He got another one. Oh, my gosh. Stop him. That's you. Don't be afraid. That's a word from the Lord. Don't be afraid of darkness, man. Even if it touches you, be so full of Christ that when the enemy squeezes you, all that comes out is Jesus. And he squeezes you, and Jesus gets all over people. Yeah. Eventually, they'll stop squeezing you because it's like taking a hammer and tapping a nuclear bomb that's filled with righteousness. And the Holy Spirit's like, you know, we're like Vikings. We like run into the enemy's camp, and we grab a couple people, and me and Holy Spirit run away laughing. We got one! The enemy, no! We worked so hard on him. He was a Satanist. Ah! Let's go get him. Let's get him back. Oh my gosh, he's infected. What's that shiny? Oh gosh. Oh, it's disgusting. Ugh. Oh, he's dead. And then Christ goes, boing! And another spirit being is renewed. That's you. You know? In the midst of a spiritual Disneyland, man, we're in a spiritual Disneyland. I really thought atheism was going to take off, but it actually hasn't, because people know their spirit. And there's still atheists out there, and that's a religion of itself, but there's spiritual Disneyland. Where do you go besides Christ? Where do you go? This book is about filling up elsewhere at different fountains. Don't do it. If you're, like, honestly, guys, I'm going to hit it. If you're raising your hands in worship because you want to make yourself feel better, you have to rest and raise your hands from a place of rest and thankfulness. If I play on the worship team because that gets me my comeuppance and I feel spiritual, that's bad. Because it's not centered in Christ. But if I join the worship team because I have a heart because I want to pour out worship to the guy who made me qualified, that's good. The why behind your life is what you'll be held to account for. Okay. Jesus, thank you so much for strongholds. Thank you that we just rushed the enemy's camp and we slaughtered some pigs, man. Because the word of God is like a sword. Cuts through marrow and bone, spirit and flesh. Yeah. Slice! Holy Spirit, I just ask that if anybody's feeling like a little bit, that your spirit, Father, you would just show them the truth. And that you would just knit together anything that was cut open, God, and replace it with truth. And God, I just thank you for holiness and righteousness and that nothing we do changes that, Jesus. Because you have qualified us. Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. I don't know if there's been a service where we've been called cancer, Vikings, but I'll go with saints. You guys have a great week. If anyone wants prayer or you want someone to stand with you for something that you're believing for, the prayer team will be up here. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.